The world is full of grifters right now, especially when it comes to foreign policy. And of course, there's tons of people on the left doing this. But then there's also a group of people who are not conservative by any stretch of the imagination, but they try to disguise themselves as right-wing to grift even harder. And that is certainly the case with Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate was on the Valuetainment podcast and roasted Ben Shapiro for being a warmonger. Let's hear him out for a second, and then I'll respond.
Ben Shapiro, Family Guy. On the conservative
Ben
side.
Ben Shapiro's not a Family Guy. Ben Shapiro's a midget warmonger who, if he got sent to war himself, would piss his little pants. Sitting down and spending the last 10 years advocating for big, strong men to go die in ditches while he sits at home collecting money. Ben is a warmongering piece of shit. He's not a Family Guy. Ben's actually a bad person. And I'm saying that genuinely. I don't usually have personal beefs with people. Ben is a bad person. You don't need to know much about him. Look at his history during COVID. Look how he pushed for everyone who didn't take the vaccine to not be able to fly and leave their house. Look at all his warmongering. Every single war, he's desperate for people to go to war permanently all of the time. And then he sits there hypocritically and say, oh, yeah, Andrew Tate's accused and porn while taking money from OnlyFans himself. He's just a bad person. Ben's just a bad person. That's the truth about it.
So this is going to be one of those shows where I have to talk about some uncomfortable truths. And I've always said on my show that just because I talk about left-wing politics a lot and roast them and we got to wreck the libs, that's all good. But if we're not strong on the right, we'll lose every time because the left is very coercive. They're very unified, unfortunately. And so I call out right-wing people just as much as left-wing people because we have to be on our game. And the conservative movement is a very diverse group of people, and I think we need to be allies. But sometimes being allies means calling out the BS when you see it. And so we can even be stronger together. That's what I believe. And so I have to respond to that video this way. Every word of what Andrew Tate said there was a lie. And the critique that I have for conservatives is not for Andrew Tate, because Andrew Tate is not a conservative, but for Patrick Bet-David, a guy I honestly like a lot. I watch a lot of Valuetainment. I think a lot of people should watch it. I think they have some good perspectives and they get some good guests. But my critique is, where was the pushback from him? Because he knows that what Tate is saying there is a lie. I think you can see it in his face personally. And he asks some follow-up questions. Nothing wrong with that. But he doesn't push him back. He doesn't want to do anything to combat him, which you have the responsibility to do as an interviewer, I think. And I think it's a big mistake that he didn't do that. And here's the deal. If I could get Andrew Tate on the show, I would do it. So my critique, like, I don't have a problem with having, frankly, anybody on the show. I would have anyone on my show to have a conversation with them. On a conservative show, you should have that. It's the left that doesn't want people of diverse opinions on their shows. The right can't have that. So no problem. Like when Tucker Carlson went to Russia, for instance, no problem with that. I thought that was awesome. Having Andrew Tate on your podcast, no problem whatsoever. I got no problems. But you have to actually push back against the lies. And Patrick does not do that in that clip. And I watched most of the podcast. And he really never does that. What Andrew Tate does in this video, in my opinion, is the classic 8-year-old getting caught routine. And we see it from the left a lot, and we see it from Andrew Tate right there. We've all seen it. You catch a child doing something, they get really embarrassed, and then they immediately, because they got embarrassed, try to divert the attention onto someone else and blame them and call them basically the same thing that they are caught of doing. And it's without accusation. No one has to even accuse Andrew Tate of doing something, and he does the exact, he says the exact thing that he's expecting to be called about someone else. And I've talked about it on the show a lot. Every accusation is a confession. Every accusation is a confession from the left, from people like Andrew Tate, which it's difficult to even classify politically where he's at. He's a red pill, I suppose you could say that. But Andrew Tate calls Ben Shapiro a bad guy because he knows that he, Andrew Tate, is a bad person. And why do I say this? Because I have a lot of people comment on some of my past shows. He's not a bad person. How can you say that? Guys, you need to just, I'm not putting words, I'm not going to ever say, well, I think maybe he said this. I'm talking about the things that he has said himself about pimping out women, about how women's value comes from things that are so gross. In the same podcast, just for some context, the same podcast as this one, Andrew Tate advocates for having promiscuous intercourse with as many people as possible. If you're a man, not a woman, it's bad either way. But he says men should do that, increases their worth, and he also advocates for polygamy, neither of which are good things. He also, this is another separate note, he also praises Donald Trump and his policies, which is totally fine by me. But there's one problem with that, and it's in relation to what he says about Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro's position on Ukraine, because Andrew Tate specifically says that Donald Trump is a hero and that his policy on foreign policy is heroic. I agree with Andrew Tate, but here's the problem. Ben Shapiro's position on Ukraine is the same thing. Again, this is the thing that Andrew Tate is saying he's a warmonger for. Ben Shapiro's policy on Ukraine is the same policy position as Donald Trump. There are pretty much no distinctions whatsoever. So either Andrew Tate is an idiot and knows nothing about politics because he hasn't been paying attention, or he's a grifter. And I personally think that he's both of those things. But unfortunately, the host of the podcast, Patrick Bet-David, didn't have the stones to say that to his face. Because here's the thing, I know Patrick Bet-David is a smart dude. He knows Tate is lying, but he says nothing. He knows what Donald Trump's policy position on Ukraine is. He knows what Ben Shapiro's is, or at least he should, because Ben Shapiro is a large person in the conservative movement. If someone's going to say something about someone else, you should probably, in this industry, know a little bit about their basic policy positions. Ukraine is such a big part of American politics right now. You should know the basics of what the big people know. Or at least I do, and I'm sorry I have a small fraction of the audience that he does. And he has the responsibility to know that. So either Patrick Bet-David was severely underprepared, or he allowed Andrew Tate to lie. And I think he knew, and I think he let Andrew Tate lie, and he said nothing. Later, Andrew Tate says that Ben Shapiro was pro-foreign. This is another example of this, and I know Patrick Bet-David knows that this was a lie. Tate says Ben Shapiro was pro-forcing the jab on people. The Daily Wire literally sued the Biden administration over the OSHA vax mandate, and they won. So again, why is Andrew Tate lying? It's such a blatant lie. Like, that one especially, it just couldn't be more clear. And the question is, why is he lying? And the reason why is because Andrew Tate's idea of pseudo-conservatism is completely at odds with Ben Shapiro's version of conservatism. They cannot work together in the slightest. And just for instance, you cannot simultaneously believe that men should dominate women and have intercourse with hundreds of women, and then at the same time simultaneously believe in the nuclear family. That's just one example. You can't believe both at the same time. And so Tate makes money from selling that latter idea. That he's making money from saying the red pill argument, men should just have intercourse with as many people as you want, you shouldn't get married, or if you do get married, you should have as many wives as possible. He makes money from selling those ideas. So of course, Andrew Tate attacks the largest proponents of the nuclear family in order to push his pseudo-conservatism over that and make even more money. This tax season, don't forget to file your taxes, guys, because you can actually make a lot of money. I've partnered with a business that hates the IRS as much as you do, so they fight to get you every dollar back possible. QuickTax America. QuickTax America has already gotten its average tax returner $3,000 back from the IRS, and they do all federal tax returns for only $69. It's a completely transparent price because it's their only price, no matter how complicated your taxes are. They do all the work as well, unlike the big services where you're spending 4 hours and you don't know how much it costs till the very end. They have the transparent price. All you have to do with them is simply upload your files, answer a few basic questions, and schedule a 15-minute finish your tax return call with a professional, and they do all the rest. So go check them out at quicktaxamerica.com, or you can go to the link in the description below. So I want to move away from Andrew Tate, but I still want to talk about Ukraine and how Trump is handling things and how Democrats cannot understand it. Trump's way of dealing with Ukraine continues to be the only logical way, and because of that, it's very, very popular. Watch the moment that this CNN anchor realizes how popular Trump is on this issue.
I think the easiest way we can kind of just ask this is, do Americans like the way that Trump's handling his job and compare it to how they felt about Joe Biden? So this is the net approval rating. You look at Joe Biden back in 2024, he was 22 points underwater. Holy cow. You look at Donald Trump, it's just a different planet entirely. I mean, the gulf between these two is wider than the Gulf of America or Mexico, depending on which side of the aisle you stand on. He's at plus two. So look, at this particular point, Americans are giving Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt. He's doing considerably better than Joe Biden was doing on the handling of the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And so on this simple question, I think Americans are saying, okay, Donald Trump's doing all right on this.
What about specifically on how they feel about bringing the war to an end?
Yeah, okay. So, you know, look, questions on this can be quite complicated, but I think this kind of gets at sort of where the American trend line is. Americans on the Russia-Ukraine war want a quicker end of the war, but Russia keeps its captured land. Look at this, 50%. Bare majority coming in here. Support Ukraine's right to fight, even if it means a longer war. That's at 48. This is very, very close. But the trend line on this question is so important because that want a quick end of the war, look at this. You go back to August of 2022, it was at 31%. Now we're at 50%. I mean, that is a rocket ship upwards in terms of the Americans who want a quick end to the war, even if it means Russia keeps the captured Ukraine land.
So I'll tell you the reason why Americans like Trump's handling of Ukraine more. It's actually not because of his policy. It's really not. And the reason why I say that is because most Americans don't understand Trump's policies and have not actually spent the time to look into them because it takes a lot of time. And I don't blame people. They've got actual lives to live. The reason why is because of what they say at the end of that clip. More of Americans right now want the war to end than ever. Because right when the war started, people might have thought, yeah, we could draw this out before $300 billion was spent. We thought, yeah, you know, this could be good. You know, Russia clearly is doing evil things. Ukraine doesn't deserve to be invaded like this. Let's keep it going. But as time goes on and we're seeing inflationary spirals, we don't want it anymore. And again, and this is the fundamental reason why they like Trump, Biden did nothing to end the war, ever. He just kept it going. In fact, again, he wanted it to continue. And even though most people do not understand Trump's strategy or policy position regarding Ukraine, they understand this one thing. He is actually trying to end the war. That is like the fundamental split between Democrats and Republicans right now, and especially between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Is Biden wanted the war to continue, and Donald Trump wants the war to end. And again, it's like funny how that happens. If you just try to actually end war and have peace, people will respect you rather than doing what Biden did and give $300 billion to Ukraine in the same time that there's an inflationary spiral at home. And even though, again, this is like really important, I think, the average American does not understand everything about the Russia-Ukraine conflict. They now understand one basic root fact. It's been around, like this conflict has been around long enough at this point for people to understand one basic fact. And it's that Ukraine is not going to take back the lost land without U.S. troops on the ground. The Donbass region in Crimea that was taken in 2014, it's donezo. It's donezo unless essentially we put U.S. troops on the ground and start World War III. That's the only way we're getting it back, and that's not going to happen. And so if that's the case, what are we doing here, guys? Like, why are we still fighting? And again, Americans understand this. They do understand this basic fact. It's like if Ukraine's not going to really lose more ground and they're not going to gain back their ground, then just end the fighting. Like, why are we doing this? If the odds of territory shifts are almost zero, then literally what is anyone fighting for right now? No one is fighting for anything. The Russians aren't fighting for anything. They're not going to take more ground. The Ukrainians are fighting to take back the land they want, but they know deep down that the odds of that are almost zero. And Americans know it's zero. And so they have no incentive to keep the fighting going. And again, Americans really understand this. Trump understands this. And that's why they support Trump on this so hard. And I do predict that because of Donald Trump and his great, great foreign policy, I love Donald Trump on his foreign policy, I think the fighting in Ukraine will end in the next couple months. I wanted to let you guys know about a deal I'm running on Amazon right now. My book, A New Cult, it's up on the bookshelf right there. It's only $9.99 on Amazon right now. Or if you have a Kindle subscription, it's actually free to you. So go check it out right now. I talk about the craziness of the left and how they're devolving literally into a cult. I talk about some crazy stories. I know you'll enjoy reading it. I had a great time writing it. So go check it out right now. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching, guys. If you haven't already, go down below, like the video, subscribe to my channel, and watch another video.